No new peace. Down deep in my soul. Give yourself a hand. You did good. I hope you got that song in your heart. You know, some people come to church and they're like, you Christians are so happy. Well, you know what? We should be happy because we're going to heaven and not hell. We ought to be the happiest people in town. Amen. And if you don't have that song in your heart, why don't you get it before you leave this morning? You see, we're not better than you. We don't think we're better than you. We're on a train headed to heaven. Amen. And we stopped at this depot, and we'd like you to get on and go with us. That's what it's all about. Well, we're going to have a special just before I preach, and Randy is going to come and sing for us, and this is Randy the girl, not Randy the boy. So, Randy, come and bless us with a song.
Cool. Shepherd, may I sing your praise within your house forever. Within your house forever.
Thank you, Randy. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Hebrews 3:1. As soon as you find your place in God's Word, let's stand and we'll honor the Bible as we read it by standing. Hebrews 3:1. Do you know that you're holding in your hand the number one best-selling book in all of history? You say it wasn't on the New York Times bestseller list this week. They took it off the New York Times list years ago because they sell more Bibles in 1 month than all the other books put together. And it still is the number one best-selling book, and I love to honor it because I believe it is God's Word. Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 1. I believe the key to any great revival is prayer, and I had prayer with your pastor and your youth pastor early this morning when we got here to the building. I know many of you have been praying for this meeting already. Thank you. But one thing that I've done and never deviated from in 24 years as an evangelist is right after I read my passage, I always invite anyone that would like to come and join me at the altar. We can kneel all the way around the platform, or we could kneel on these front chairs or in the floor. There'll be room for everybody. There'll be someone that'll say, Brother Ken, I'm not comfortable coming down there and praying with you. Well, if you're not, that's fine. You can just be seated after we read. Or if you're physically unable, I understand completely. But you are welcome if you'd like to come and pray with me. We'll do that in every service because we've got to get him involved in this revival. Amen. Hebrews 3, verse 1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, and repeat with me that what the Holy Ghost said, today, if ye will hear his voice. Verse 8, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and I said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said, repeat it again with me, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now drop down to Hebrews chapter 4. Find verse number 7. Just one page over in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said. Repeat it with me. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Isn't that amazing? Three times that same phrase. Do you realize that if something is said in the Bible one time, it's authoritative? You can take that check to the bank and cash it. It's good. But this he says three times. And all three times is a direct quote from Psalms 95:7. For he is our God, we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Four times in the Word of God it says today. If ye will hear his voice. I invite anyone like to come and join me at the altar. We're going to kneel and pray. The remainder, you can be seated, but you're welcome to come join me. Come and pray with me. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Come and help us pray for a revival. Come on. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house this morning. Oh, we've enjoyed the singing. Each song has spoke to our hearts. Now we've read your word. And dear God, we do want to hear your voice. I'm praying today that you are speaking to a heart. And I do pray they will hear your voice. I'm praying today for that Christian man that's wrong. Oh, things look fine on the outside, but they're wrong on the inside. Bring a revival to his heart. And then, dear God, I'm praying for that woman that you have such great potential to bless her and use her, but she's falling way short. Bring revival to that lady. And then, dear God, fill my mouth with every word. Let me be your preacher today. Let me preach without fear of anyone in this room. I want to be your spokesman today. Dear God, we give you the next few moments. You take them. You bless them. And whatever you do, however you do it, we're going to be very careful to give you all the praise and all the honor. And yes, God, we will give you all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. This morning, the passage said, today, if ye will hear his voice. Have you ever noticed how a mother knows the voice of her child? I've been in many of services, and we could hear a baby crying in the back, and a mother jump up and run. That's mine. To us, it sounded like any other baby. But to that mother, she knows the voice of her child. Years ago, I pastored a church out in the panhandle of Texas, in Borger, Texas. And I had four boys at that time. We didn't have our daughter yet. And you know, when you're poor and you don't have much money to spend on vacation, we used to always go camping. And you know, that's the reason you go camping, because camping's a cheap vacation. You know that. And we had one of those Ford conversion vans that folded out and made a queen-size bed in the back. And me and Julie would sleep on that bed. And then I had a big two-room tent, and I'd stick them four boys in that tent with sleeping bags. And that was how we went camping back in those days. And so we were going to head up and go to Colorado. And, of course, everybody in the church said, Brother Kent, you need to go to Fun Valley, Fun Valley. And we're like, really? Fun Valley? Yeah, Fun Valley. That's all we heard from my church members. Fun Valley. So we drove up near Wolf Creek Pass and southwest corner of Colorado in the mountains, and we went to Fun Valley. Well, Fun Valley is a great big RV park. I mean, there we are with a van and a two-room tent, and we had to buy a lot right between, you know, we had to rent it right between two Euro cruisers about 45 feet long with awnings over their window. They were up in those windows watching us. We were like monkeys at the zoo. I mean, they were just watching us out there, and I could hear them. Hey, honey, come! He's going to build a fire now. You want to see this? Come out here. He's got a Coleman stove. And oh, they were just watching us. And of course, we're out there, and it's raining. They're in their nice Euro cruisers, but it's raining, and the smoke's coming up. And me and Julie are sitting there trying to read a book, and the four boys are out playing, and all of a sudden Julie sets up, my wife, and she goes, did you hear that? And I'm like, no, I didn't hear nothing. Listen, did you hear that? I'm like, no. And all of a sudden in the distance I could hear, Mom! You know, they never yell Dad. You ever notice that? It's always, Mom! And I mean, Julie jumped up, and we went down a road, and we went over a little bridge over a babbling stream, and right there on the edge of the campground, a mountain went straight up, and it had a trail that went up like that, right up that mountain, and we looked up that mountain, and there's our youngest son, Daniel. He's holding on to a root like this, and his feet are dangling, and he's yelling, Mom! And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, if that root breaks, he's going to be right down here in just a second. Let's just wait for him, you know? Now, that was not a good answer for a mama, no. And I mean, all of a sudden, Julie took off, and she ran. She didn't run up that path. She ran straight up that mountain like a gazelle. She went up that mountain. I mean, people in the campground were standing there going, wow. And to this day, she swears she saved that boy's life. Uh-huh. Isn't that something? Way in the distance, she could hear the voice of her child. And you know, I believe God today is still speaking to people. But do we hear his voice? In fact, this morning, I believe with all my heart that God is going to speak to somebody in this room. In fact, I believe that maybe God even has started speaking to someone's heart when you got out of bed this morning before you got to church. The voice of the Lord was already speaking to your heart. The question is, did you hear his voice? It seems like to me years ago in church, we used to hear it more common. We used to hear people say things like this around church. The Lord told me to do something. The Lord spoke to my heart. I did it because God told me to do it. But you know what, Brother Bryson? We're not hearing much of that today. And the reason I believe we're not hearing it is because today some people are afraid to say that God spoke to you because people might think you're crazy. One of the great philosophers of our age, Joy Behar of The View. I quote from her. It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. That's called mental illness, if I'm not correct. Hearing voices. You see, some people are not going to speak up and say, God told me to do something. God led me to do something. I'm obeying God's voice because the world is going to think you're crazy. But I believe God still speaks to people. Then we've got people today in our world, you read about it almost every day. They justify their sin by saying that God spoke to them. On Mother's Day 2003, Deanna Lacey, 39 years old of Tyler, Texas, she killed her two sons. Joshua was 8 and Luke was 6. And she left 15-month-old Aaron for dead. She bashed in their heads with a rock in the front yard of their home. Her attorney said this is defense in court. Lainey believed that God had told her the world was going to end. And she had to get her house in order, which included killing her children. The dilemma she faced is a terrible one for a mother, the attorney said. Does she follow what she believes to be God's will, or does she turn her back on God? Well, let me tell you something this morning. The voice of God will never contradict the Word of God. And if you say God spoke to you and it does not line up what God has already said in His book, it was not the voice of the Lord. You see, today, I believe God's going to speak to somebody in this room. Today, God is going to tell you something. But are you going to hear his voice? And I want us to look at a few examples this morning. I won't be long. I believe God is going to speak to some Christians in this room today. You know you're not what God wants you to be. You know that you're falling way short of your potential as a Christian. In fact, there's someone in this room right now. You're involved in sin. And that sin has become your master. It's become your downfall as a Christian. And you need to get right today. And the voice of God's speaking to you. There could be a man or a woman in this room this morning. You're involved in an adulterous relationship. You're cheating on your wife. You're cheating on your husband. Nobody knows it. You don't think anyone knows it. Well, let me tell you something. God knows it. And you know it. And he's speaking to you right now saying you need to stop that. You need to turn from that evil way. You need to do what's right. And you know what? You need to make your way down to this altar this morning when I hold the altar call, and you need to get on your face and get right with God today. There's someone else. You're stealing money at work. The boss hadn't caught you. The auditors haven't run across it yet. But you know that you're stealing money from your boss. You need to repent of that and turn from your wicked ways. You see, 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then there's some Christians in this room that you just need to rededicate your life. Your Christian life has become stale and apathetic and boring and dry and dead. Yeah, you're at church this morning, but you weren't excited to come to God's house. It wasn't a joy to sing his praises. It's not a joy to listen to a preacher preach or read the word of God. It used to be. And God's going to speak to you today and say, you need revival in the worst way. You need to rededicate your life to Christ. Make a new commitment. There's somebody in this room that maybe God's calling you to full-time service. There may be a young man or a young woman in this room right now, and God has already began to speak to you. He wants you to be the next preacher. He wants you to be the next missionary. He even wants you maybe to be the next evangelist that will stand in a pulpit and preach a revival meeting. God needs young men. God needs young women to hear the voice of God and surrender to it. Oh, it's heartbreaking what's going on right now in our Bible colleges. Do you know that many of our great Bible colleges are gone? They don't even exist anymore. Tennessee Temple, Chattanooga, Tennessee, gone. Lakeland Bible College, Lakeland, Florida, gone. Northland Bible College up in Wisconsin, it's gone. Arlington Baptist College in Arlington, Texas, you could put the student body in a phone booth. And these are schools that used to run thousands of young people studying for the ministry, preparing to go around the world. Do you really believe that God is no longer calling young men and young women into the ministry? I don't believe that. I believe they're not hearing his voice. Young man, young lady, if God's calling you into the ministry, it's a great life. It's a wonderful life serving God. Oh, I want to make big money. I want to be an engineer. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a professional athlete. Thumpity, 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 thumpity. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? But a great life is serving the Lord and serving others. When I was 15 years old, I asked my parents for flying lessons. I wanted to learn how to fly a plane. 15, they got me flying lessons. At 16, I soloed for the first time. 17, I got my pilot's license. I wanted to be an airline pilot. I wanted to fly 747s across the ocean. And in December of my 17th year, God called me to preach. And I threw it all down. And now I fly on a plane twice a week. And I walk by that cockpit and I stick my head in there. And they're just bus drivers. Glorified bus drivers. I'm so glad I didn't become a pilot. Now I can fly all over the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and see lives changed and eternities changed. young person, you're not going to make a lot of money in the ministry, but I'm going to tell you, if the voice of God is calling you, you need to hear his voice. You need to surrender to it. There's someone this morning that God is calling you and talking to you about joining this church. You've been attending here. You know Brother Bryson. You know he preaches the word. You know this is a great church. This is a growing church with a great future. And you need to walk down this aisle today and need to say, preacher, I want to join this church as you receive members. You need to run your flag up this flagpole. Well, Brother Ken, I don't like to join just one church. I like to just visit around and get, you know, this week we're coming over here because you're having revival, and next week they're going to have a quartet over at another church, and then the next week they're going to have a movie over there, and we're just trying to hit all the high points. Well, you know what? When you hit the high points, you're jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. And let me tell you something. I've been to the mountains many times. Nothing grows on the mountaintop. You know where a real growth takes place? In the valley. You need to join a church and go through the valley with that church. You need to be a member of a church when a prominent member dies and it breaks everybody's heart. You need to be part of a church when financially the bills get too great and you have to struggle to make ends meet. You need to go through the valley when the pastoral changes and you have to find a new pastor. Those are valley experiences, but I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, you will grow in the valley. You ever go and find the Spit and Whittle Club, the old men downtown, you know? You'll ask them, well, tell me about your life. Well, I remember in 42 when downtown burnt completely down. Remember, then 51 we had that flood and washed everybody away. And you're like, did anything good ever happen to you people? They won't tell you one good thing. But they'll tell you all the tragedies. You know why? Because they grew through those. And you grow through hard times. And there's some of you right now, you need to walk down this aisle today and say, you know what? I need to be part of Assurance Baptist Church. I want to be part of a church that not only is preaching the word, but winning souls and growing and going somewhere. If you want to join a dead church, go out there and knock yourself out. There's a ton of them. But if you want to be a part of a living body, you need a church like Assurance Baptist. And you need to come today. And you need to join the church. Because without joining the church, you're not getting anywhere. I get on a plane and it seems like you always have to go to Atlanta. Everybody got to fly to Atlanta. I told my wife, when I die, I think my soul will go to Atlanta first. Then straight to heaven. But you'll get on that plane and you're flying to Atlanta and the pilot will come on and he'll say, oh man, we're making great time. We're going to get y'all to the gate 20 minutes early. And you're like, well, great. And then all of a sudden you look over and there's Hartsfield Jackson in Atlanta and he makes another left-hand turn and there it is again. And he'll make another left, and there it is again. We're up there flying in circles. You see, I'm flying, but I'm not getting anywhere. And for you to jump from church to church and visit church to church and go somewhere different every week, you're flying, but you're not getting anywhere. You need to come today and join this church. Then God is going to speak to someone in this room today that needs to be baptized. Let me make it very clear. There is no salvation in baptism. Water don't save you. But the Bible does say that the baptism is the show of a good conscience toward God, and it's the first step after you get saved. And if you have never taken the first step, how are you going to take the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth step? You can't grow in Christ if you're unwilling to take the first step. And there's some of you, you have been saved. You have called upon the name of the Lord, but you've never been baptized. You need to walk to this altar today and say, God spoke to me, I need to be baptized. And let me just make this clear. You need to be scripturally baptized. Scripturally baptized. I'll have someone come up to me. I had a young man about 22 years old come to me. And he said, Brother Ken, I'm just not getting victory in my Christian life. And would you talk to me and help me? And so I sat down with him. I said, okay, let's talk. Okay, first off, when did you get saved? He said, well, I was 5 years old. I was in junior church and I got saved. I said, okay, when did you get baptized? He said, I got baptized the very next Sunday. They baptized me. I said, okay, good. You got saved. You got baptized. He goes, but wait a minute, Brother Kent. When I was 18, I went to college and I got involved in a Bible study group. And when I was 18, I really understood and I really got saved when I was 18. And I'm like, okay, when did you get baptized? Well, when I was 5, they baptized me. And I'm like, bingo. Here's your problem. You can't get baptized before you get saved. You say, well, does the order make a difference? It made a difference to God. Because those that gladly received the word were saved and baptized. Let me stop and make it very clear. You might have got christened as a baby. You might have got sprinkled. You might have got poured. You might have got dunked. If any of those took place before you got saved, you didn't get baptized. You just got wet. And you know, I'm seeing this in epidemic proportions all over America. People who are unscripturally baptized. They got baptized out of order. You need to come today and say, preacher, I need to be scripturally baptized. And if you need baptism, you mark it down. The voice of the Lord will speak to you. You got to hear his voice. Galatians 3:27, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And it kind of bothers me, if you've truly been saved, why haven't you been baptized? That kind of bothers me. Well, Brother Kim, I'm scared of water. Well, you're just going to have to get over it. Brother Bryson, have you ever lost one in that tank? Uh-huh. Have you? No, I've never lost one. I pastored 18 years. I've never lost one. In fact, some of them are hard to keep under. They're like corks in there. You'd think a big person just sink to the bottom, but they don't. They bob right up to the top. Sometimes you're baptizing Brother Bryson, you got to almost throw your leg over them to get them under. But I've never lost one in that tank. I don't know any preacher that has. You need to be baptized. And you know what? Baptism is an outward show of what happened in your heart. Really, to me, baptism is just saying, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you're proud of him. And you'd want to be baptized. I've traveled all over America. I've never had a man come up to me and go, Brother Kent, this is my wife. Isn't she ugly? I've never heard that. You know why? Because you love someone, you're proud of them. I've never had anybody walk up and go, these are my little grandbabies. Aren't they hideous little monsters? No, they're proud of those grandbabies. And if you love Jesus, you'd be proud to get in that baptism and say, this is what took place in my heart. I'm going to act out the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You need to be baptized. You see, the Lord's going to speak to a Christian today. But I believe also God's going to speak to somebody in this room today that needs to become a Christian. It's not something you thought about 5 minutes ago. It's something you've been thinking about for a long time. You know why? Because the voice of God's been speaking to you for a long time. You need to get saved. You need to walk down to this altar and you need to tell this good pastor, I want to trust Jesus. Now, some people say, well, I don't want to go down there because if I go down there, then they're going to expect me to get a mic and get up here like Randy and sing a special. No. You're not going to be asked to sing a special. Well, Brother Bryson's probably going to open the Bible and say, okay, I got some questions here. Can you quote this verse? Can you answer this? No, there's not going to be any hard questions. In fact, if you can walk down to Brother Bryson this morning and just say five words, I want to be saved. That's all you got to do. He'll know exactly what you mean. And we've got people that are trained with Bibles, and they're going to go with you very privately and very discreetly, and they're going to kneel with you and show you how to call upon the name of the Lord. That's how hard it is to get saved. It's just a prayer away. And we've got people that can help you. And guess what? All of us in this room that have been saved, we've been where you are. We understand. You're among friends. And this morning, the Lord's going to speak to someone and say, you need to be saved. Now, I know it's scary. Oh, Brother Kent, to walk down that aisle in front of everybody and go down to that altar. Well, let me tell you something. If you just reach down and take the hand of the person next to you and just say, would you walk with me? They'd be happy to. They'd be happy to come down here with you. And the preacher will have someone show them how to be saved. You see, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But verse 11 says this, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. If you're lost today, this Lord's voice is going to speak to you. And he's going to say, come to this altar. Listen to that evangelist. Tell Brother Bryson, I want to be saved. And today you could leave this building on your way to heaven. You can lay down on your pillow tonight and know that if I die in this bed tonight, I'm going straight to heaven. Shh, shh. Do you hear the Lord's voice? Is he speaking to you today about something? Harden not your heart. Hear his voice. And say yes to it. Would you stand with me this morning?